This week I want to talk to you about prayer. At the beginning I said, a church that prays together stays together. And the title of my message today is Christian Communication, Hebrews 13, beginning with verse 18. Now you say, well, what happened to verse 17? Well, we covered 17 in the message, How to Recognize a Spiritual Leader, about a month ago. We touched on all the verses relative to that, but I will read it again just so that you won't think I skipped one. Amen. 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And the text I want to focus on today, Christian Communication, verse 18. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience, in all things desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in a few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints, those from Italy, Greece. Grace be with you all. Amen. And that's just basically the last few verses are just the closing of this text and of the book of Hebrews. Let us pray. Father God, we worship you. Lord, we thank you that we can communicate with you every day. Father, that there's no time limit that we have with you, Lord. There's no set place that we have to worship you or communicate with you, Lord. That you, our Father, you're omniscient and you're omnipresent, Lord, and that we can love you and talk to you whenever we need. Father, I thank you that you're the God of miracles. Lord, that when we need a miracle in our life, Lord, that you're the God that can do that for us. Lord, I thank you that you're the God, Father, of stewardship, Lord. When we manage, Lord, you bless. And Father, I thank you for all that you've done and that you're doing through the lives of this church. Father, I pray that you would anoint the words today. Father, I pray that you would teach this, Father, and that I would decrease and that you would increase. Father, I pray that if there's anyone that doesn't know you in here this morning, Lord, that before this service is over, that they would see all they need to do is communicate with you by asking your son Jesus into their heart. Lord, I pray that they would do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Matthew 6 also today. Matthew 6, because I believe you'll see some parallels between the closing of Hebrews and also the words of Jesus when he said in this manner, therefore pray. I want to read this to you, and many of you have been taught this before, but I want you to see the parallel between the words of Jesus and the words of the Hebrew writer, who I believe was the Apostle Paul. It's interesting, you see, the best person to quote is Jesus. If you're going to teach others and you're going to lead a church or you're going to try to guide a group of people, the best person to copy or to repeat is Jesus. This pastor that I was with all week, I mean, he was so funny. You know, all these old pastors at the associational meeting that I met with, they just would tell me all these stories of these old preachers and how they would copy each other's sermons, and that sometimes they would forget which ones they'd preached. And there was a gentleman that had preached a revival one time and showed up at a church to preach the revival and preached that pastor's sermon and used that pastor's illustration. And they just made me laugh. I mean, I heard so many stories. But I tell you, if you're going to copy someone, or if you're going to teach from the Bible and teach from the words of Jesus Christ. And that's an interesting parallel, is that if, as I read this, you'll see a close connection. Our Father, who art in heaven. Now, we know when we pray, we're to pray not to some God that's unapproachable or untouchable, but we're to pray to our Father. And the interesting is his hour. You see, it's not a Lone Ranger faith. Our Father means that collectively as a group of believers, as that means we're a family. So we come together in unity as a family. We have one thing in common, those of us that believe that Jesus died, rose again for our sins and for our future. We are a family, so it's not something, you don't just go off into your own corner and have church. Now, you do have a private prayer life, a personal prayer life with God. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. I actually encourage you to do that, as all the prophets of old did. But the thing to remember here is that it's something that we have in common with other people. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy and worthy be your name." Some people think, well, if I'm going to pray, I have to be very outspoken and eloquent and be a great orator. The truth is, friend, you can just be yourself. I don't care if you have a third grade education or a PhD. God's ears are open to you. You don't have to pray in some perfect manner. You just need to be real with God. I tell you, the people came in and prayed for me this morning in the office. Do I remember every word they said? No. But something happened in that few moments that fueled my soul. And if you'll take a few moments to speak with God and to have a quiet time with Him every day, I promise you're going to be better for it. God is going to speak to you and use you in ways that you couldn't imagine. I don't want to preach this, or I'll preach for 40 minutes, but I'll hurry up because I want to get back to Hebrews. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Now, not my kingdom. Amen. It's not my kingdom, not what I want, not what I think's best for me. Your kingdom come. You see, that's the problem with prayer, is that we pray and we've already got it all figured out how we think it should go, and we just pray for God to agree. Lord, I've already got this figured out. Just go ahead and make this happen. No, God wants us to be broken as a small child. Come to Him as Father and a King that's above every name. And He wants us to be holy and be non-blemished and come before Him. And then we begin to ask. And you say, well, how do we be holy? Well, you just ask Him to forgive you if there's unconfessed sin in your life. You ask Him to cleanse you. That's why His Son died, so that He could cleanse you of all your sins. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom, but your kingdom. And sometimes there may be some things that come with His kingdom that we don't want. His kingdom may not exactly fit our kingdom. His kingdom's a little different. The bar is a little higher with His kingdom. The cost is much higher with His kingdom. You can't just have it your way when it becomes to His kingdom. And if it comes to a real move of God, you have to just allow God to do His thing. See, most people want to harness God, and they want to put God in their box, and you just can't put God in a box. You have to be open to a move of the Holy Ghost, and I mean, sometimes that move's going to look crazy. I mean, it's going to make you uncomfortable. It's going to be things you've never seen before. But if you walk through the life of Jesus and you look at the things He did and the places He went, you see that nothing He did fit in anyone's box or routine. He lived way outside the box. And if you need a miracle today, you must understand that the cost of this life, the cost of communication with our Lord Jesus, it's going to cost you something. If you're going to follow Him and allow Him to lead you as an individual or as a church, it's going to cost you something. Your will be done. That's another hard one. Because sometimes, and I can't explain all this to you. I wish that I could, but sometimes our will is not His will. And I don't understand sometimes why our will is not His will. Because I don't understand why a hurting mother and father that's child sick with cancer and they're praying for that child to live, I don't understand sometimes why God doesn't allow that baby to live. I would love to ask God why. But we've got to think it's His will be done, not our will be done. See, my will is different than His will. You never know what God may be trying to do through a situation. The parents of that baby could be lost, and that losing that child may bring them closer to God. You never know. That baby, there may be a foundation started in the memory of that baby that would help 40 other babies. And that baby's purpose, that short time in life, could have been to be an example to see other people helped. in the medical field. You think of a child that I watched a special. I'd slip up to my room during the revival and I'd watch A&E, you know. I stayed at the pastor's house. I didn't know if you heard me say that, brother. I told him I normally didn't like to do that, but the food, man, was good. I'll tell you that. I could have used some more privacy, but the food was good. But I slipped up and I watched this special on kidnappers, children that had been abducted and abused. It was a two-hour thing, and I thought, you know, you want to ask God, why would you allow a child to be abused like that and to be hit and beaten? And you think about that, and the ones that never come home. But, you know, it took those children. You think of the John Walsh who had that show. I can't even remember the name of it. What was it? America's Most Wanted. You know, his son never returned, but look at all the children that were saved because of his son. See, sometimes God's will is not our will and we don't understand it, but as believers, we've got to trust what he's doing. Even if we don't understand it. I mean, there's times in my life, friend, where I haven't understood it. And I believe most of you believers that have lived for Jesus for a long time would agree with me that after a few years, sometimes 10 years, 12 years, and you look back, you see God's hand in some of that stuff you couldn't understand. As we get older and as we get closer to heaven, I believe God reveals more and more to us about what he does and why he does it. But it's his will. And it said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, forgive us. Provide for it. That speaks to provision. Forgive us. But listen, Lord, don't come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me, if you're not willing to forgive someone else. The problem with churches and with believers is we want the grace of God, we want the forgiveness, but man, we don't want to forgive others. And that's why you have churches that don't make it, that split, is because there comes dissension and tension in a church, and then they split because of it. And do not lead us into temptation. You see, we're going to be tempted. But ask God not to lead us into temptation. Lord, lead me towards your throne. Lord, lead me towards your blessing. Lord, lead me towards your favor. Lord, don't lead me into temptation. But deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you look over at Hebrews, it says this, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. Okay. It says, remember it said, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Okay, now look here. Pray for us. Paul says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. He tells the Hebrew people and the Hebrew believers, he says, listen, I'm asking you to pray for me. Because we are living honorably, we have a good conscience. We are asking for prayer and our motives are right. You see that? He says, listen, we want you to pray for us. We have the right motive. We're living our lives honorably. We're paying, we may risk our lives for you. We want you to know that we are living like we are supposed to when we ask for prayer. Now, I'm going to break this up into four parts for you. First, a word of exhortation. First point today, word of exhortation. The word exhortation means to appeal, to urge, to encourage. That's what it means. It's to making an appeal on their behalf. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. The first is a request for prayer. He's requesting for prayer. Many of you, you need to feel free about telling your believers, your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, there's no shame in asking for prayer. No shame. Pray for me, I'm sick. Pray for me, I don't feel good. This is the church. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be willing to pray for one another. Amen? Amen. Jadon said, Pastor, we want to pray for you this morning. I said, my stomach's hurt. Pray for healing. I told her, I want people to know, here's how you pray for me. This is what I need. Make sure you are honest with people what you need. Don't feel like, well, you know, I know some people want prayer all the time. I mean, for a hung toenail or, you know, a lost quarter and, I mean, everything. But I tell you, I'd rather be like that than to underestimate the power of communication with God. request for prayer next, the reason for prayer. He says, desiring to live honorably and in good conscience. The reason for prayer. You see, you remember the woman at the well? When he said, we worship in spirit and in truth. Remember that? Spirit, the spirit is what he is. But truth is who you are and where you are. See, we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. But you see, spirit is who he is, so we try to connect with his dimension and his grace and his fullness and his wholeness and his worthiness. We try to connect with his spirit, but then here comes the balance. The truth is who we are. It's important when we come to him in prayer, it's important that we have a good conscience. Amen? I'm not saying you can't come to God with your sin by all means, but make sure you go ahead and ask God to cleanse you before you take it a step further. Because if you come before God's throne with sin or blemished, he doesn't hear that until you've humbled yourself to say, Lord, forgive me. And it's more than just saying, forgive me, friend. You've got to mean it in here. It's something in your spirit. You have to be under conviction and you have to meet. I can remember before I was truly on fire for God. I mean, I might as well have been, I'm not going to pick on denomination, but I would pray every night to get saved. Every night from about 9 years old till I finally got free because I knew I'd messed up during the day. And I know people, I know men, godly men, 72, that he still, his whole life, prays every night for God to forgive him. And there's nothing wrong with that. I admire that because there's a fear of God. But here's what bothers me about it. I know that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice and that it was sufficient and it paid all our debts. And what bothers me is I believe that the reason that man who lives clean feels that way is because of religion. I believe people have forced him to believe that he's not worthy. And the truth is, grace covers. It covers. Now, you say, well, Pastor Ronnie, we shouldn't take advantage of the grace. No, we shouldn't. And if your heart's not right, you see, it says a good conscience. That's relating to your soul, friend, to who you are, your inner being. You can ask God to forgive you and give it mouth work all day, but there has to be a connection between your conscience and the character of your life that connects with the words that come out of your mouth, and that's what penetrates the dimension and gets God to hear you. If your soul's not right, you know, it'd be like, all right, here, you just go live like you want, and all you got to do is say these words, God forgive me, every night. I mean, then it becomes legalistic, and that's what you do, and you just live like you want. That's why it must be a soul and a conscience and your conscience that connects. The reason for prayer, their heart was right. Their spirit was right. They request for prayer, the reason for prayer, under the word of exhortation. And here's the next thing, the result of prayer. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Apparently, prayer changes things. But I especially urge you to pray to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. You see, if God didn't want us to do this, or if the writer didn't believe that it worked, he says, listen, I want you to pray for me because I'm not happy in the situation that I'm in. I'm not comfortable where I'm at. I need a miracle. I need a blessing. I need a change in my life. So pray for me, and I believe if you'll pray for me with a clean heart and with the right motive, that God will change my situation. I want to confess to you this morning, if you're in a bad situation, if your mind and your heart, you don't believe that God's going to answer your prayers, he's probably not. He's probably not. But if you believe that God can do it and have faith that he will do it and ask him, then he will answer you. He will answer you. That's what the writer says. Even if it wasn't God's will for him to be restored to them the sooner. That was his need and that's what he asked and he believed that God could change it. And that's the life of a Christian. It's not to second guess everything that happens, even though we all get caught up doing that sometimes, don't we? It's to trust God, and when you have a need, you bring it to Him. But you also have to trust in His answer and in the timing of it. There's a request for prayer, there's a reason for prayer, the right motive, and the result. The result is change. Prayer changes things. Next in this is a word of benediction. Benediction is the blessing, guidance. It's usually the close of some formal activity. Let's read here in verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. First, I want to talk to you about His person. His person. Word of benediction, number two, is the word of benediction. And we'll talk of His person. His person is, and He is mentioned here as the God of peace, Shalom. He is the God of peace, which means that if you're in trouble this morning, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, God is the God of peace. God can bring peace to your spirit, peace to your situation, peace to any building, peace to any church, peace to any family, peace to any business, peace to any young man or young woman, or older man or older woman, or young child that's scared. God will bring you peace. He's the God of peace. You know, have you ever just been so shaken and in trouble and grieved and not known what to do or which way to go, and you've called upon the name of the Lord, you've made your request, you've had the right motive, and God has just, you ought to be miserable, you ought to be screaming, but there's a peace. When peace like a river. Ooh. That's the God that we serve. Why don't you ask Him this morning if you're in trouble? Why don't you ask God to give you peace if you're struggling with a situation, struggling with a decision? Ask God to bring peace to it. His person, He's the God of peace. Verse 20, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. His provision is the next thing. He is our shepherd. He looks after us. He takes care of us. He pops us if we need it. Amen? He's our shepherd. We talked about His person. He's the God of peace. But now His provision, He's our shepherd. He looks. He watches after us. He leads us if we'll follow. He provides us with the food we need and the drink we need. Our daily bread, does that sound familiar? Back to the words of Jesus. He provides for us. He provides shelter for us. He's our shepherd, but He also provides shelter for us. You know, He is our covering, amen? He's our authority. When all else fails, He is our covering. We have a place to turn that people that don't know Him can't turn to, amen? We have a place to turn when all hell breaks loose. We have a covering. When it's raining, He's our umbrella. We have a covering, and that covering, friend, it has never failed me, and it will never fail you. When you need God, He is your covering. He's your authority. He's your shepherd if you'll follow Him, and He's your shelter when you're in a storm. And if you'll come under that shelter this morning, and you have trouble or emotional pain in your life, He will send you peace. Shalom. He'll send you peace. Next, His power. His power. It says He is the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And verse 21 says, make you complete in every good work to do His will. Remember when we talked, when we read through the prayer. His kingdom come, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Remember that? And it says, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant make you complete in every good work to do what? His will. See the parallel? between the words of Jesus and the words of the Hebrew writer? Back to His will. His power. His power. His person, His provision, but don't forget His power. You see, He is the blood covenant of the everlasting covenant. And the word covenant is a very strong word there. It means unbreakable and unchangeable. It's the blood covenant. It means you can't break. Once you're in covenant with Jesus and you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart, friend, that covenant sticks. It can't be broken. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. When the enemy comes knocking and the world starts throwing darts at you, friend, remember you're in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word Lord speaks to His majesty. Not only is He Jesus, the everlasting covenant, the blood covenant, friend, don't forget He's King. He's Lord and He's above it all and He's above our problems. And anything you need this morning, you remember He's Lord, He's King, but He's also Jesus. He's the Son who identified with us, who was at all points tempted but without sin. He is Lord, but friend, He's Jesus too. He's Lord, and He, if you need a king and you need a shelter, He's Lord. But if you need someone you can identify with and you're an outsider, friend, He's Jesus. And if you need something mystical, brother, then you have the Holy Spirit, which is His, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, until He returns, that'll move through you, move through churches, and help you get done what God has asked you to get done. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Hallelujah. His person, His provision, His power, He's the high priest. And His praise, verse 21, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Now don't forget about the praise. Amen. To Him be what?
Glory.
Glory. Forever and ever. Amen. If you'll trust Jesus as your shepherd and as your shelter and as your provision, He's going to make you complete. Which means whatever in you is missing, Jesus Christ will fill that void this morning. In every good work. Now, that means people say, well, I don't believe in dead works. Well, the problem is there are people that don't do any work. I'd rather be doing dead work than no work. It says in every good work, which means, and this church has a monopoly on this. I mean, y'all do a great job at it. I was here even when we did the yard sale months ago. I mean, just to look around and the members that were out here praying and serving, you understand that it's about a connection, it's about a covenant, it's about a shepherd, and it's about a shelter. But you also understand that it's also about completion to do some good works. I mean, if you're not out doing good works and trying to be Jesus to other people, friend, you're wasting your time. Some of you are under so much condemnation and guilt from the devil that you don't feel like you're worthy to do good works. Just start somewhere. Attach yourself to some of these men and women that are doing the work and watch God bless you. Watch God mature you. I tell you, I've grown more through doing than I did even in school. His praise, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a continuous praise. Amen. We've talked about Christian communication. Yes, we're talking about prayer this morning, but don't forget about praise. Amen. And don't forget about the different types of prayer. Don't forget to give thanksgiving. Amen. Don't forget about supplications and requests, but intercession. Don't forget to pray in the Spirit on behalf of someone else. You know, if you'll get serious about prayer, God will get serious about answering. We must pray to God, just like a young child that really wants that gift for Christmas. I mean, they will stay on you and stay on you and hint around and draw circles in magazines to make sure and point arrows to it. I mean, if a child wants something, they're going to find a way to get you to take notice that they want it. We are the same way as sons and daughters of the Father. If we want something, we got to make sure that He knows about it. Amen. His praise. It's a continual praise. To Him be glory forever and ever. It doesn't say we're to stop. We ought to be praising Him all the time.
Amen.
Amen? And I know as a preacher, most pastors, you know, they're not very good praisers because they're praying and worrying about their message. But I tell you, I've really tried to step it up the last 4 or 5 months. Ever since Fresh Oil New Wine Students, you know, and I've I've wanted to get down and praise a little more. Amen. I've wanted to spend that time. You know, sometimes I felt like, God, I'm just going to praise you, and if I don't get to preach, no big deal. Matter of fact, maybe your spirit will break out and I won't have to preach and I can just soak in your presence. Amen. That wouldn't be so bad, would it? Wouldn't bother me. Word of benediction. Number two. Number three, a word of supplication, which means help, request. Verse 22. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in a few words. And I appeal to you, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in a few words. The writer here is requesting for a fair hearing. That's what's going on here. He's saying, listen, all I'm asking you to do is try this. Test it. Pray to the Lord. All these things that we've learned throughout this summer, the way, I'm asking you, be compassionate. Be consecrated. Set yourself apart. Be content with the things you have. He's coming to the end of this here. Bear with me. He's coming to the end and he's saying, listen, I'm asking you to be compassionate. I'm asking you to be content. I'm asking you to be holy. I'm asking you to take of the communion. I'm asking you to consider all the things. I'm asking you to stay under authority. I'm asking you to trust the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that He's the covenant. I'm asking you to do all this. But he's asking for a fair hearing because, see, he's writing a letter to a group that was really being pressured by non-believers to go back to the old way of life. They're wanting to go back. They had people trying to infiltrate their belief system, and he's not there every day. So they have to be connected with God, and they have to give this letter a chance. He's saying, listen, I want a fair hearing. All the words that I've written to you, everything that we've studied as a church throughout the summer months, he's saying, listen, receive it, pray on it. Communicate with God about the words that I'm writing you and see and watch how He'll answer. That's what he's saying. A word of supplication is a request for a fair hearing. Next, a request for meditation and thought over the words that He's written to them, not just in these few verses here, friend, but the entire chapter of Hebrews 13. He says, I want you to meditate through all of this. I want you to meditate on these things. And remember, many people believe that Hebrews 13 was used as a cover letter. So not only could have this been a closing, this could also been an introduction to what they were going to read. Amen or oh me? All right. Word of information, number four. Word of information, verse 23, and we'll close here. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see very soon. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Word of exhortation, word of benediction, word of supplication, and a word of information. The good news is Timothy has been set free. Can I tell you this morning that if you'll trust in God as your shepherd and your shelter, He will set you free. If you'll pray like Jesus asked us to pray, pray to Him as Father, understand that He's the King, and understand that He's Jesus, understand that He's Spirit, understand that He'll provide for you, understand that you must have a clean heart and a good conscience. When you come and you make supplication and you request things of Him, you better be forgiven, you better be unblemished, you better come before His throne in the right manner. But understand, after all of those things, when you pray, it brings freedom. It will set you free. It'll bring freedom like you've never experienced, you've never witnessed. Prayer changes things. It changes things, but it brings freedom. It brings freedom. I mean, why in the world would men 60 and 70 years old, retired, in Lebanon, Tennessee, come together every week and just pray? I mean, just pray. Because they've seen throughout the course of their lives that it's a constant. It changes things and it brings freedom. Those men feel free when they take that time every week to give God the time He deserves in unity with the brethren. They know that that brings freedom, and that it brings change. And what How could you bring those from Italy and Greece and all of the Romans and the Jews together? Just like he always closes it, grace. What brings people of different backgrounds, of different economic levels together? Grace. What brings all of us together? Grace. What ought to bring the church together, regardless of denomination, ought to be the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not someone's opinions, not legalism, not religion, but grace. And that's what it means to communicate with God. Let us pray this morning.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.